So tonight, my brothers and sisters, you're getting two for the price of one. I'm going to reflect a little while on this gospel this evening. And then Jill Tabbitt, who is a member of our school's board, is going to reflect for a little while on the great work that's being done in Catholic education across the land, and very specifically in our two schools. We're given that opportunity once a year to salute and to honor all people of education, but especially in Catholic schools, doing an incredible work for our young people, and very specifically right here at St. Monica. So we begin with that beautiful story from Isaiah this morning, or this afternoon. It just feels like morning. Where Isaiah suggests that the kingdom of Israel has been divided. Zebulun and Naphtali, the two parts way in the northern part of Israel, have been separated from the rest of the kingdom of Israel. The Assyrians have come down and have captured that portion of the kingdom. And so Zebulun and Naphtali are now a land not of the Jew, but of the Gentile. They are a land now not of light, according to their tradition, but of darkness. And so what we have here is a little pericope, a little small little shot at that time in the great kingdom before, of course, the union of that kingdom through King David. But what we have is also a statement of Isaiah that says, even in that kingdom of darkness, even in the land of the Gentiles, there will be a light. Now Isaiah is probably thinking about the reunion of Nephilim and Zebulun and Naphtali. I get them mixed up, but there they are. To be reunited again with the Jewish kingdom. That's probably what he was thinking about. But from our perspective, what it means is that this Christ, who at the very beginning of his ministry, right after John was put in prison, and that's the opening line of our gospel tonight, as soon as that was done, he leaves Judea. He leaves the land of Jerusalem. He leaves the land familiar to him and to all the Jews. He leaves the temple. And where does he go? He goes to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. He goes to the land of the Gentiles. And so, what we are saying in this gospel tonight is that there was indeed a light. Christ was the light. And he went into the darkness of that land and brought the message of our Lord and Savior and of his Father. So right at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, we have the explanation of the separation, the darkness, the prediction of a light, Jesus leaving Judea, going up to that two parts of Israel, and he brings that light even to the Gentile. So what we have is right at the beginning of this gospel, a belief that Christ came not just for the Jew. He came for all people of all time. And so even in Zebulun and Naphtali, even in the land of darkness, even in the land of the Gentiles, Jesus came to bring the message of his Father. And so that's the great plan that unfolds in the life of Jesus Christ. Now it strikes me, my brothers and sisters, that along with that understanding, there was the call. Right after he begins his move up to Galilee, Jesus, he looks around and he finds four people in this gospel tonight. Peter and Andrew, James and John. And what they say is this simple statement, they left everything and they followed him. Now, first of all, folks, they were very simple people. Yes, they were Jews. Yes, they were living in a foreign kind of atmosphere and land. But they were fishermen. So it wasn't like they were not leaving a little home in Malibu. They were not leaving some big practice or business in Los Angeles. They were fishermen. They left their nets. Peter and Andrew, James and John, it said immediately they leave their boat, that's a little bigger, and their father, and they also follow him. So I got to thinking about that. How do we come to better follow Jesus Christ in our life? How could there be such immediacy? How could it have cost so much to those four men that they immediately left and followed this Christ? Well, I hate to tell you the answer. This is at least from my perspective. But it strikes me that the only way you and I can really come to that full-hearted, immediate following of Jesus Christ is through pain. That's how it's done. When things are going well, when we're flying high, when people are cheering us on, when life is good, we are not very inclined to even think about this Christ because we're full and we're satisfied. And we're happy. But let something happen to us. Lose a mother or a father or a grandmother. Let someone say to you, my brother, my sister, you've got a problem. You've got an addiction. You better look at it. Someone says, I don't love you anymore. It's over. Whatever that pain is in life, what strikes me, it's right there, right in that moment, that crucible, that moment. That's where I think we learn to have a full-hearted following and relationship to Christ. Rick Warren said it beautifully when he said, when you look for someone who's doing good things in this world, always look for the pain. And it's there. I've got a young friend, 51 years of age, young to me. And he's got two beautiful children. Call me this week. He's got a virulent form of cancer, and the prognosis is death. And this young man, he's fighting it. He's not going to just let it go. But it's not a good prognosis. He called. We talked about another friend. He wanted his phone number. I forgot to give it to him. He called me back because this other friend, an older man, is dying. And he wanted to be there for that person. And I thought to myself, you know, I just skim along in a week. And here's a guy facing the loss of a family and his death at a very premature time in life. And he's the one that's sensitive. He's the one that cares. He's the one that's making the call. Because there's pain in his life. And because of that pain, he wants to follow Jesus. Friday night, we were at this wonderful celebration the Tabbets put on in one of our local charities in this area of the West Side. There's a guy there that is a chef, and he's teaching people. He's a tremendous chef. He's won all kinds of awards and things. He's teaching people who have been on the streets, people who have been addicted, people who have had struggles, people who have been out of jobs. He's teaching them how to chef, getting them into an internship, and then finally getting them into the swim of life in some kind of work as a chef. He's an amazing young man. Got 3 children. And I talked to him. And I said to him, because this has been on my mind, you're doing incredible work. Where is your pain? And he shared it with me. It's true. So my sisters and brothers, that's the call tonight. Not just John and Andrew and Peter, you and me. Now, I don't think you and I want pain. I don't think that's something we're praying for, is it? No. I think it's the only way, actually, but I don't think we want it. But when it comes, and inevitably, it will come. When it comes, be grateful. So Jill, you're our person tonight. I'd like you to come up here. Jill's on our school board. On Friday, Jill, I was with a person who has her child in our school, and she talked to me about her son-in-law or brother-in-law, David Montez. David graduated in 1995 from St. Monica's. He went on to Harvard University. And from there, he got into the campaign with our president and is now a speechwriter for Obama. Now that might thrill some of you, it may not thrill all of you, but there it is. But what I want to say is, no matter what is said tonight about our 2 schools, we've got kids who are making a difference in this world. And that's what we hold up to you on Catholic Schools Week. Jill Tabbitt, let's can welcome her and thank her for being here.
Thank you, Monsignor, and good evening to all of you. I have the difficult task of following Monsignor's homily. First of all, I'd like to extend a warm welcome tonight to our special visitors from the Notre Dame Club of Los Angeles. Notre Dame's a special place where my husband and I met many, many years ago. As Monsignor said, my name's Jill Tabbitt, and I'm honored to speak here as a member of the St. Monica Schools Advisory Board. As a board, we advise St. Monica Schools President Tom Gasper, who also happens to be a Notre Dame graduate, by the way, at both the elementary and the high school levels. On the eve of Catholic School Weeks, this is a perfect time to reflect on the importance of Catholic education, and in particular these schools that are right here in our backyard. Even though you may not have school-age kids, what goes on beyond these gates here is very relevant to all of us here this evening. As an extension of our faith community, the St. Monica Schools represents our collective practice of carrying out the Christian mission to spread the good news. It means dedicating our resources to help form citizens who are committed to a lifelong pursuit of faith, social justice, and the ideal of making the world a better place by loving God and our neighbors. I'm a mother of 4 children. All 4 are young adults now, and all 4 have had the benefit of Catholic education at elementary, high school, and college level. They're all proud to call themselves Domers, graduates of the University of Notre Dame. But for my own children, I truly believe that their moral compass that steers their everyday actions is anchored in the experience of their Catholic education. It's my belief in Catholic education that brought me to serve on the St. Monica Schools Advisory Board. I've had the chance to witness what goes on behind the scenes here, and I'm truly amazed. The choir right here is one perfect example of the amazing thing that these kids can do. The thought, effort, and time that goes into education of our young people by the administration and staff here is exemplary. Currently, we're in the midst of a strategic planning initiative. Our pastor, Monsignor Torgerson, President Tom Gasper, our presidents, Dr. Quinley and Mr. Chacon, Teachers, staff, and board members are all working tirelessly and overtime with focus and passion to research and plan for the best possible strategies to educate our school children. If you happen to run into any of them, please thank them for their dedication and commitment. I'm appealing to you tonight as a fellow parishioner to endorse the institution of Catholic education, whether you have school-aged children or not. Our children are our future and the hope for our church's future. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Jill. It's great. Thanks so much, Jill. Appreciate that. It's great. Thank you. Thank you.